for his love. Well, great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. Just lift up your hands and praise the Lord. Why don't you lift up your hands and praise the Lord? Just praise the Lord. Praise him for his mercy. Praise him for his love. Well, great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. So lift up your hand and praise the Lord. Why don't you lift up your hands and praise the Lord? Lift them up, praise the Lord. Yes, praise him for his mercy. Praise him for his love. So great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. Just lift up your hands and praise the Lord. Why don't you lift up your hands and praise the Lord? He's worthy. Oh, yes. Praise him for his mercy. Praise him for his love. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. So lift up your hands and praise the Lord. One more time. Why don't you lift up your hands and praise the Lord? Praise him for his mercy. Praise him for his love. Well, great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. Just lift up your hands and praise the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Let's get Kentucky in the house here. Amen.
Lift my hands and praise the Lord. Oh, he's been so good to me. Oh, I love him for everything he's ever showed me. I love him for just being here, for just being counted as one as he is. I praise him. I couldn't hold myself. I just want to praise the Lord.
It's amen.
Oh, just how it feels. Oh, yes. It's so wonderful to feel.
Oh, yes.
I mean, we don't have to feel his presence, but when you do, oh, it's so wonderful. I love him. I love him.
Oh, my goodness, talk about it.
Thank God.
Amen.
For letting me know what his precious word.
Yeah.
Amen. It's going to take me on through. I love him. I love him.
Hold on, Brother Mike, real quick. I just want to let give Brother Hicks a chance real quick.
Amen.
Amen, Lord.
Well, I truly praise the Lord for being here. You know, and it is great to be here in his mercy, his love, Lord. I don't know what in the world we would do without it. And I just praise him for it. And I'll love him for it.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Brother Mike, God bless you.
After the last couple of service, I was really thinking about the spoken word and the importance of it, that even God for creation had to speak it forth. Before that, it was just a thought. We were just a thought, but we had to have the spoken word. And the importance of that, the fivefold ministry has to preach it.
Yes.
As long as they're just thinking right there, it doesn't help anyone but them.
Right.
But they have to speak it forth. And if you're real quiet, how are you the spoken word? The importance of a testimony.
Amen.
How are you the final voice to the final age if you're not speaking?
Oh, my.
Okay. How are you speaking stuff into existence? How are you doing all these things if you're not part of the spoken word?
Amen.
Look through the Bible. You'll find how important it is for the spoken word.
Amen.
Amen.
And the important part of that is spoken. It has to be spoken.
Right.
Fourth, That's why you really shouldn't be too quiet in here. I mean, it's the spoken word hour. And how are you going to hear from God unless someone comes up and speaks it forth? Look, search the scriptures. That's what you're going to find. You're not going to find someone being quiet all the time. You're going to find the spoken word, someone shouting out in the word of God. He's the spoken word. You're the spoken word. So let's hear you.
Amen. And you know, Brother Mike, it's the word in action.
Yes.
You know, you take this thing in and it does what it does through you. You know, you could have a desire to go to the store and get a gallon of milk, but in that process, God does what he does because he has needs to go by Samaria. See, it's just like that scripture, Brother Mike, you know, unless that seed goes in the ground and dies, it abides alone. He would have been alone had he not stepped out. Not my will, Lord, but thine.
Amen.
You know?
Right.
So he was looking towards the promise. That's what we're looking towards. Yes. The promise. That end all be all. Yes. That's what we want. That's what we're pressing towards. God bless you.
Amen. What Brother Mike was saying there, you know, Abraham didn't just talk to Sarah one day. Took him a long time.
Right.
Preaching that girl over and over and over again until she finally sunk in and says, you know what? I believe that.
Amen.
God's been doing the same thing to us, Brother Moore. He's talked to us. Till finally, one day, we finally said, you know what? I believe this.
Yeah.
I believe this. I believe I'm one of them. I believe. I think I can step out on that. And ever since then, it's been nothing but a manifested bride.
Yeah.
Manifesting her scripture for her day. Doing everything she needs to do.
Amen.
She's got nothing else in her way. Brother Moore, you said the other day, reminded us the other day, God said there's not one thing standing in our way getting out of here.
Nope.
And come in here, I was thinking this morning, I don't even know whether to shout, scream, jump, cry.
My.
Don't even know what to do, Brother Moore. But I do know one thing, I'm going to jump for joy.
Amen.
I'm not going to come in here and waste my time and have idle time sitting here just for no reason. I'm going to give everything I've got. I was talking to him when he was coming in. I said, Lord, I'll empty myself and you'll fill me back up. That's the way it works.
Yes.
Come in here, give it all to him.
Yes.
Just whatever's in you, just let it out.
Yes,
and I can promise you one thing, he'll fill you right back up.
That's right.
If I scream, he'll get my voice back to me later.
Yeah.
If I jump, he'll be all right the next time.
Oh,
if I clap, my hands are sore, they'll be all right later.
Yeah.
But I want to come in here, Brother Moore. I thought, I don't know, Lord. I want to. He's a liberator. I was thinking about that this morning. God's a liberator.
Liberty.
He'll take care of whatever you got going on in your
Amen.
Life.
Amen.
I was thinking this morning when I woke up, the thought, God's thoughts are not man's thoughts.
No.
Sometimes, Satan will get you to a point where you'll think you're going this way and God will go this way. God will go a completely
just
different direction
thing.
On you. And it's a personal revelation, Brother Moore.
Amen.
Brother Branham said, it's Christ personally revealed to you.
Yes.
That's the new birth.
Amen.
It's got nothing to do with anybody else. It's just you and your God.
That's it.
Walking through this thing together, hand in hand, lip to lip, arm locked together, and God will lead you.
That's
He'll
right.
guide you. You'll take care of everything you need to take care of. You'll meet every. I mean, there's just nothing left.
Nothing.
There's just nothing to worry about
goodness.
In this world. I see it falling apart. More it falls apart. I see this body getting closer together.
Amen.
And closer
brighter
together.
And
I mean, Brother Branham talked about that time. He said, you get to a place where you just can't really stand. Till the next service to see each other. I think we're long past that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I miss you when I see you coming in here. I think, oh, Lord, it's been too long since I've seen you last service. There's a genuine love here.
Yes.
You know, the other thing I was thinking about, all these people that walked away, I thought, you know what? There's such a genuine love in this place. We love people. We genuinely love people. They'll walk away from you and they'll say the things that they say in here, yet I love them anyways. You know, I was thinking about Sister Mel the other day. I thought, you know, love them all.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. My desire is that they all be there.
Yeah.
And I love having that kind of revelation.
Amen.
Oh, it touches me.
Come on, bro.
Oh, these are tears of joy.
Testify. Come on.
I'm not worried. I'm not tears of sorrow. Tears of joy.
Amen.
That I've got a love so strong. That same love that God had for me, Brother Moore. When I was deep in the miry clay.
Yeah.
When he reached down his hand for me.
Yes.
He did it for me. I could easily do it for anybody else. I don't care what you do. My love supersedes every single thing this life's got to offer. I've got nothing but love. And that's scripture. God is love. And it's a genuine love.
Yes.
And they do what they do. And he said when they done everything they did, and they beat him. They done all these horrible things to him. And he's hanging on the cross. He just, Father, forgive them.
Yeah.
They don't know what they're doing. Yet they were fulfilling Scripture, Brother Moore. They had to do what they did simply for even this Israeli. They got to do that, brother and sister. Just like we talked about World War II, we had to drive those Jews back to their homeland. Yes. What they're doing now is simply to bring the manifestation of these prophecies to be fulfilled.
Yes.
To get this bride out of here. As bad as it is, as horrible as this, all they got. Amen. It's all right, Lord. I'm ready to go home, but yet while I'm here, I can rejoice, Brother Moore. I can walk through this life with my head up because I know who I am. I see everything the way God looks at it. I look at people the way God looks. I understand every single man I meet.
Oh,
that's a beautiful.
Yes.
Nobody else can say that, brothers and sisters.
No,
they can't talk like that. You can't. I don't even expect them to talk like that. It's just not in them. And yet here we are. Brother Moore rubbing shoulders with them, walking by smiling. Oh, it's a good feeling when I see somebody that does me right.
Amen.
Oh, touches me so deep on the inside of the inside. It touches me when I see people do things and I think, oh, God bless them. Look here. Another one. Another believer. Just somebody I can tell. Just another one of mine I can claim and take on the other side.
Amen.
And I want to sing something, but I don't even know what I want to sing.
Amen.
I just want to sing something. Give me something nice.
Amen.
I'll sing right along with you. Because I'm happy.
God,
I want to walk around. I want to praise him. I want to raise my hands. Oh, don't sit in your seat. Don't come in here and fall asleep on God. No, don't come in here. Jump, shout, scream. Like I said, he'll give it back to you. You're not going to run out of energy.
Come on.
You're not going to worry about it. This is our opportunity that God's given us to give him a little bit of what I can, even though I know whatever I give won't be enough.
Yes.
I can never outgive the Lord.
No, no.
I can never outlove. I can never do anything to even measure what he's done for me. But oh my, that's all right. I'm still going to give it. I'm still going to give. I'm still going to raise my hands. I'm going to shout. I'm going to scream. I'm going to say amen. I'm a believer. Every word that comes across God's mouth, I believe it. Just yay and amen. Step out on it. Yes, I can do that. That's all you want me to do?
Amen.
You want me to come in and just give you praise? I can do that. You want me just to give a testimony? Okay, I'm thankful for what you've done. Oh, that's a little thing, Lord. I can do that. I've been too quiet for too long.
Come on.
Shame
come
on me even. Because, you know, you overcome by the words of your testimony. Oh, all right, Isaiah, give me something.
192, every praise.
Every praise.
Every praise. I'm going to sing with you, and I'm going to take a walk. Join me if you want, but I want to just walk around this place.
Amen.
God's given us a house we can come in and worship when this world's beyond crazy. He's given me a sanctuary, a place that I can come to.
Yes.
Simply just a peace of mind.
Right.
This world's crazy.
Amen.
Lord.
And while we sing this song, why don't you guys just greet each other?
Oh,
shake each other's hand. Hug each other.
That's a good idea.
You know? It's to our God. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship
in one accord.
Every praise
is to our God.
God, every word of worship in one accord, every praise is to our God. Sing hallelujah to our God. Hallelujah is to our God. Every praise is to our God. God my Savior, God my healer, God my deliverer. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. God, my Savior. God, my healer. God, my deliverer. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship in one accord. Every
every praise is to our God. Sing hallelujah to our God. Glory hallelujah is to our God. Every praise is to our God.
God, my Savior.
God, my Savior, God, my healer, God, my deliverer. Yes, He is. Yes, He is.
God, my Savior.
God, my Savior, God, my healer. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship is to our God. Every praise is to our God. Sing hallelujah to our God. Glory hallelujah is to our God. Every praise is to our God.
God bless you. You may be seated.
I wasn't going to say anything, but Brother Isaiah said sometimes, you know, God sends you to Kroger's for a gallon of milk. Well, I went to Kroger's to get some Pepsi. And I'm cheap. I had coupons. And they had digital coupons. But my digital coupons would not load. And I was there. While I was there, I was going all kinds of stuff I had coupons for. And I could not get the digital coupons to load. And I'm angry and frustrated. And I run into this woman. It's like, and I see in her cart, she has all the stuff that I have coupons for. And I'm putting my stuff back, and I see her. It's like, well, here, do. Lots of time, you know, we are meant to be blessings.
Yeah. Sure, amen.
And I came home angry.
Amen.
You know, amen. It didn't even occur. You know, it's like, take your coupon. But, you know, that was my purpose to go, to be a blessing to somebody else.
Right.
And I'm glad Brother Isaiah said it, because it helped put my attitude right.
Amen.
And my afterwards, because, you know, people were coming over today, my friend said he was going to pick up the Pepsi anyway, so it's free is better than no coupon.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm still blessed with what I wanted.
Amen. Yes.
And it just, God works like that. I had no idea he was going to volunteer to do it. But God wants to bless us, but he wants us to be blessings. Because we are who touches the world. And this woman had a slew of kids. You know, and anyone who knows you have a slew of kids, don't matter how much money you make, you don't have money. And it's just a good perspective to keep, even on your downtimes, that sometimes Joseph is in jail to touch somebody. Sometimes, you know, you get sold to this.
Yeah.
And it's during those trials, and, you know, not getting your Pepsi is not a trial. But you wouldn't have known that from me yesterday. But, you know, even those little minor setback things, lots of times it's God's hand. And we just got to look at, step back and look at things through his eyes and trust him.
Amen. That's so true, brother. You know, I'm sitting there thinking about, another 10 years would be exactly 2,000 years since the day of Pentecost.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I'm thinking, you know, we may not know the day. We know the season. We're in the season. Now, think about what Peter said coming out of the day of Pentecost. He didn't come out and say, brothers, now we got to start living good.
No.
We got to get our life in order. Brother Bram says, no time to get your life in order.
Amen.
And I was thinking again, you know, sending Peter to the soul.
Right.
Has God even forgiven my flesh, my spirit realm? Why? Since it's not even imputed there. You know? And I'm sitting there and thinking, worrying about what you're doing, up and down, in and out.
Yeah.
You know, I got to do better. I'm not doing good enough here. God ain't even worried about it. He's worried about men and brethren. This is that. That's what Peter talked about. He talked about the day, his scripture. And I'm thinking, Lord, if we don't see that, we just don't, not born again, I guess. But, you know, it's the hour to look to him. You know, every praise is to him. Not me. It's not about me anyway. It's about what he has done. We look back to see what he has done. That's our revelation this day. Not what he's doing. We're just getting included with that. We're getting included in that seventh age, in that church body that's already made up, already finished, already completely accounted for. My name's already accounted for. My name's Branham. There's only seven names. It's not my name at all. I don't have a name anymore. My name is the Word of God.
That's it.
And I'm thinking, Lord, you know, what an hour that we're living in. You know, I was sitting there, I was thinking, I was told Jim back here, I said, I hadn't really thought about anything all week. You know, and I thought about that this morning. I said, Lord, I've just slept through or I've got up and worried about this, worried about that. Hadn't really, you know, thought about anything. And then I just kind of grinned. I said, Lord, you still got it. Whether you use me for anything, you don't use me for anything.
Yes.
You got me so lock, stock, and barrel. Yes. I think, Lord, thank you so much. Because he's bringing his word to pass.
Oh, yeah.
Through the Son of Man.
Yes.
Which I am. I'm no different than Jesus. That's why on the other side, he can say, well, he's just our elder brother.
Yeah.
Well, are we the bride or are we the elder brother of Jesus? Both.
Both.
Both. He's made up his bride.
Yes.
Over there,
yes.
We just heirs, joint heirs with him.
Oh, yeah.
Under the Father. God, the invisible God. The Elohim.
Yeah.
Now I'm thinking, Lord, we see so much. You know, and I was thinking about even Bible study. We had to talk about this day.
Oh,
this
yes.
day. What God's doing right now.
Right.
What's just about to happen.
Yes.
You know, we know what he's done. Yes. We've been through that so much, so much,
right.
so much.
Sure.
Doctrine? We don't even worry about doctrine. We got doctrine so perfect. We don't even worry about that. Going to hell? Ain't no chance. Not even in my vocabulary anymore. The devil being an adversary? Oh, not even a threat to me. He can't get something he's already lost. Lost a soul he never had. I'm thinking, Lord, how great this thing is. You know, you just want to bask in it a little bit.
Yes.
Especially when you come here. If nothing else, when you come here. You know, like Brother Jim was saying, you know, enjoy this thing. You know, I remember back when Brother Moore said something to Brother Jeremiah. Jeremiah was kind of dreading, you know, preaching. You know, oh, so much pressure and everything. Finally, Brother Moore said, enjoy. Enjoy your ministry.
Right.
Now think, bride, enjoy your salvation.
Enjoy.
He was talking about last Wednesday, too. You know, I'm not just looking for that.
No.
Might be another 10 years.
Right.
Maybe it's exactly 2,000 years. I don't know. But I'm enjoy today.
Oh, yeah.
I'm enjoy every minute of my life.
Oh,
there's no reason not to.
No reason.
Jesus just took every reason
Amen.
Away from us
to
not enjoy every moment and every day. I'm the Son of Man. I'm the bride of Jesus Christ.
That's it.
Amen.
Fully manifest.
Yes, nothing less.
There was a time when we talked about sons. Brother Shirley stopped us. He said, talk about a manifested son.
Yes.
Not just sons.
Not just sons.
Yeah. I was a son my whole life. But boy, when I come a manifested son.
Yes.
When he placed me as a son.
Oh, yes.
Kind of like Jesus on the River Jordan.
Jesus.
He was always a son.
Oh, yeah.
But God placed him as a son.
Oh, yeah.
Then he began his ministry.
Yes.
Then he began to do something. Then we begin to enter in, not my will, but thy will be done.
Yes.
And that's where we're at. Not about me. It's not about us.
Amen.
It's about his word.
Yes.
And who's his word? I am. So it's all about me. You can't separate me. Amen.
Amen.
Sister Sandra, God bless you.
Amen.
That's why I say I'm grateful to be in the house of correction, to hear the word of God, to hear my next marching orders. And it was rough. It was rough a little bit trying to get up here because I was listening and most of the time with the testimonies and stuff, because we have such strong testimonies that speak God and retell from an individual's perspective their walk with God based on our marching orders, and it's great. And I'm looking at mine, I'm like, but it's just one thing, and that's what one thing's been what's getting me through, and that is because things have been happening that have made me upset lately, and I'm like, I don't need to be upset, but for a minute.
No.
But sometimes the struggle's real, but the word that comes to me, and I've been saying it out loud even, is how many chances has God given me today? Mm-hmm. How many do-overs did he give me? Am I still here? Yes. Because every second of every day, God gives me another chance and I don't deserve it. So how can I not extend that to everyone I meet?
Amen.
No matter what I think or feel, because God has given me chances every moment I take a breath. And that is priceless. You can't buy that. You can't get that anywhere.
Forgive.
And the mere fact that I'm here right now just proves that he has given me another chance.
Amen.
Let's sing.
Sorry. Oh, you're fine. I just want to say I still thank everyone for their prayers and thoughts concerning my family. Please keep my dad in your prayers. He's having a hard time. You know, every day is like a new day that my mom has passed for him. Mm-hmm. So it's a struggle. He's getting so where he may forget names now, and we're doing the best we can to care for him and navigating through this. And looks like we will have to sell their home. And for some of you know, they have a pretty big house. And so many people has asked me, what can they do? Or if you need help, let me know. And I always back away. Because I'm just one that take things on myself, because it's hard for me to ask for help from others, because I'm not used to having a body that is so readily to help. So forgive me for that, but I need help.
Amen.
And that's hard to ask for. But to clean this house, I need help.
Amen.
To move some of this stuff, to do what I got to do. And amen. I may not know what to say or how, but I'm just needing help. And my family need help. So I appreciate it. If you got the time or the moment or whatever you have to come and help me at my parents' house, because I just started cleaning some of my mom's things, and that took hours. That took hours just to do that. And if you see the house, it's massive, and it's like, how am I going to get this done? So I would appreciate if you have the time sometime. I don't know when we're going to get it for sale. We had some legal issues we have to clear up, which looks like that's going to go okay. But personally, I don't want to sell, because they built that house. I was in sixth grade, so it means a lot to me. But some things, you know, it's time for change, and you got to move on with certain things. So, and I'm accepting that. But at this time, we got to do what's best for my dad and my family.
Definitely.
So if you have time, I would appreciate it. Thank you. God bless. Thank you.
Hold on before I get another testimony. Let me get these announcements out of the way. I want to just go ahead, based on that testimony there, I want to go ahead and set up a sign-up sheet in the back. We'll set up a date.
Yes, amen.
Coordinate with everybody, pastor and stuff, and whoever wants to sign up.
Right.
And then Thanksgiving service November 19th, and just be on the lookout for all the announcements with Pastor Moore and Brother Jeremiah going to San Diego on December 1st through the 4th, and then the New Year's service on the 31st. Sister Jen, I see you creeping towards the mic here. Go ahead.
Things I get here are glorious, just wonderful.
Amen.
They do help you along. I don't want to sit on God. I don't want to hook and prod me to do what he wants.
That's right.
Get this going and go. And I wanted to sing, but put that in my heart too. Well, gives you something, do that. Try to figure it out. I want to praise the Lord. I just want
to praise the Lord. I just want to praise Him. I just want to praise Him. I just want to praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I just come to praise the Lord. I just came to praise the Lord. I just came to praise Him. I just want to praise Him. I just come to praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Go ahead, brother. You'll be the last one.
Amen.
See, Brother Jay's not here. We had practiced a song. Brother Morris, don't want to go ahead and do that, if I can. It's Can't You See Why I'm Happy? After hearing what I've heard so far, I mean, this, yeah, it's important to get your testimony in because, your testimony does help me because I see that I'm surrounded by a bunch of believers.
Yes.
You know, and every testimony that I heard was positive. You know, long are the days that, you know, somebody came here with an oh, woe is me kind of thing. You know, we're not that body. Well, you know, we're a strong, positive body, you know, spirit-filled. And I'm just so thankful that I am a part of this body.
Amen.
You know, there's a bride around the world. But, you know, I am just so convinced that there's nobody as revelated as we are. If they are, God bless them.
Amen.
But that's,
amen.
Boy, we've got good teaching here.
Yes.
And amen. And if that's not enough to make you want to say thank you, Lord, you know, and be happy about this.
Yes.
You're in the wrong place.
Amen, amen.
Let's see. Sorry, my fault. I didn't.
Praise him on the Lord.
Out of the Only Believe 94, meeting in the air. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen.
I'm happy to be here today.
Yes.
There's no place like this place. Mm. God bless you.
You have heard of little Moses in the bulrush. You have heard of fearless David and his sling. You have heard the story told of dreaming Joseph and of Jonah and the fish you often see. There are many in that Bible, I should like to meet them all, I do declare. By and by, the Lord surely let us meet them all in that meeting in the air.
at that home beyond the sky. Such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear. It will be glorious, I do declare. And God's own son, leading one at that meeting in the air. Many things will be missing. Many things will there be missing at that meeting. For the mourner's bench will have no place at all. There will never be a sermon preached to sinners, for the sinner had refused to heed the call. There will the angel have their seal upon their forehead, with dressed in raiment none but ransomed ones can wear. And all who have the wedding garment will be present at that meeting in the air. There is going to be a meeting in the air, in the sweet, sweet by and by. Oh, I'm going to meet, I will meet you over there at that home beyond the sky. Oh, such singing never heard by mortal ear. It will be glorious, I do declare. Oh, and God, He will be the leading one at that meeting. Oh, there is going to be a meeting in the air, in that sweet, sweet by and by. I will meet you over there at that home beyond the sky. Such singing never heard by mortal ear. We will, oh, I do declare.
Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. Oh, Lord, we're so looking for that meeting. We're so longing for that meeting. This is the meeting that everyone has been looking for since you resurrected from the dead. And Father, we come here this morning to just add to that, that little fire that's burning down in our hearts. Lord, we come here to hear your word, to see you move and hear you talk to our hearts today. Oh, we're so thankful for this opportunity. Lord, I can see you moving. I know you're here. I see how you're tying everything together and making it all one message from you to us. Lord, we thank you for being here. We thank you for being here. Not just us being here, but Lord, we thank you for being here. There's many places you've been kicked out this morning. But Lord, the bride has opened up the door in her heart and she's moved you in. And Father, she's coming to sup with you. Lord, we ask you to move in this place. I see you amongst the people and I ask you to continue to be with us this morning. Lord, I pray for those that are sick today, that some that let me know that they weren't feeling well, that they couldn't come to the house. Lord, we ask you to bless that home. Move on their behalf, knowing that if they were feeling better, that they would be in the house of God. But Lord, the best they could do today would be to tune us in and to hear your word. So I ask you to send your anointing to that house, Lord. Send the healing power to the house, Father, and touch their body so they can have their heart's desire to get back in the house of God one more time. Thank you for this word that you've given us. Thank you for how we've opened the book, Lord. And I know you're going to speak to our hearts this morning because you said in your word, where two and three are gathered, that you're in the midst. And Lord, when you come, you don't come silently. You come speaking. And we ask you to speak this morning. Have your way in the remainder of the service, Father. Move us aside, Lord. Set us aside and you come by here and speak to our hearts. Thank you for all you've done, Father. Thank you for this open door. Thank you for the word that you've given us, Lord, to give to the people. Ask you now to do so in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord again, one more time. It's always good to come here. It's always good to be able to hear the body and to hear God, what God's doing in you. Because that's the only time it matters, really. It's okay that he's doing it for somebody else. But nobody can say it like you can. Nobody knows what he's done for you like you can. And when God does something for you, you need to give it back to him. I mean, you run to him. Yes. Don't slowly go, well, I guess I better. No. No, you don't want him to come to you that way. So when he comes to you, you want him to come in a hurry. You want him to come by quickly. You want him right now. That's the way we act. We want everything right now. But then in turn around and giving it back to God, we'll give it to him when we feel like it. No, he doesn't want it. He doesn't want us like that. It's good to be here. It's good to get in. I'm glad that we had this opportunity. And there's some that are out this morning sick for one reason or other. And I appreciate them letting me know, so we know how to pray for them. But it's good that you made it here. And it's good that God's going to be able to speak to our hearts. Now, on Wednesday night, Brother James Bond is going to get up. So I need one more brother to get up with him. Don Deskin's got it. So thank you. And so we're going to have the brothers. Now, see how quick that was. That's what I like to see. Jump at it, and do it quickly before you change your mind. you have all week for that. But Brother James Bond the other day mentioned it, and then I told him I'll pray about it. And because, sometimes people want to do it, and I find out that God doesn't want them to do it. And that doesn't mean that you're wrong or you missed the leading. It's just the answer's no. God's answers are not always yes. But he does answer. And Brother Bond asked me Wednesday or sometime after Wednesday. And I told him, I'll pray about it, I'll let you know. So I shook his hand this morning. He said, the answer's yes. He said, I was hoping the answer was going to be no. So we got our brothers getting up on Wednesday. Pray for Jay. He's not feeling well. John's not feeling well. Doug's not feeling well. There's different ones that are out. Sister King's still out. So keep her in your prayers. And Christy, we got you. We got you. I just smiled at Jeremiah when we were sitting there, and she's like, I need some help. And was like, that's the easiest ask there is. I mean, my goodness. So we'll coordinate it. We'll get together. We'll figure out what you need. If you need muscles, we got it. If you need packers, we got it. If you need cleaners, we got it. You say, well, I've never had. See, these are benefits of being in a body. When you are connected to the body, whatever the body needs, the body supplies. If I'm sitting at home and I'm cold, and my body said, whew, I'm cold. My entire body starts doing something about it. My mind says, there's a blanket across the room. My hand said, I'll grab it. My feet said, I need to get over. I can walk over there, but I need my legs. And they said, I got you. Fitly joined together. And when they come together, all of them together get the job done. So we got you. So we'll make sure that's taken care of. And you said, well, I've never had that. Well, it's got it now. And that's what people don't understand, is that it's a body ministry. And when the body starts moving, we're helpers one of another. I appreciate Brother Skyler. He took a few of the young people over to the football game the other night. They were too young to drive. Skyler said, I got it. And they did what I told them they need to do. Young people need to get together, you know, and have your friends in the body and do things together. And so it's good. I appreciate Skyler stepping up for that. And we're learning. We're keepers one of another. I need you and you need me. We're all a part of God's body. You know, we sing that, but it's really true. And when you walk away from the body, you walk away from benefits. People don't understand that. Not only do you lose on the spiritual side, you lose on the natural side. And so I appreciate the body stepping up when we need it. Different ones over the years have had needs and run into a wall or something. And sometimes it's financial. It's not always financial, but sometimes it is. And you know, they've been a tithe payer and they're doing their part, and then they get run into some struggle or something. And then I'll try to give them some help. The first thing they say is, no, you don't need to do that. And I'm like, but you're part of a living body. We do this. What you do when you help the body, you turn around, and when you need it, it's like the eagles. Remember the eagles when they go through the molting season? You know, every one of us go through molting seasons. And when an eagle goes through a molting season, for those of you who may not know how that works, an eagle flies higher than any other bird, sees farther than any other bird. Birds might fly high, but they get up there, they can't see nothing. You know, they might try to act like they're going to fly up there where the eagle is, but they can't see when they get there. But as much as and as strong as an eagle is, there are times that an eagle goes through molting season where they lose their feathers. And they can lose their left feathers because they're going to get some new ones. But when they lose their feathers, they can't fly. So they're down there with the buzzards. They're down there with the chickens. They're just as hopeless and helpless as the other birds. And while the eagle is going through the molting season, his fellow eagles fly over and see him in the condition that he's in, and they'll drop food down because he can't go hunting. And they got to have fresh meat. Then eagles don't eat just old carrion. The chickens and the vultures are down there just chewing on some old dead piece of carcass that's lying down there. And while the eagle's down there, he's sick to his stomach looking at him. So what the other eagles do is when the one eagle is molting, the others fly over and dropping fresh manna. And they sustain him. And they take care of him until he gets his new feathers. And that's what we do for each other. When you're going through something, you lose a loved one, you have a situation, the body takes care of the body. That's the way it happens in the natural, and that's the way it happens in the spiritual. When you have a need in the spiritual, God comes and he takes care of us. He knows what each one of us need this morning, and he'll come by here and he'll drop manna for us. Remember the children of Israel, when they were out in the wilderness, God dropped manna every day for them, and they were able to eat in the wilderness every day, fresh manna. That's why Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread, because it's not even good enough to have last Sunday service. It's not good enough to have last Wednesday service. You got to have today's service. You need God to speak to you today, fresh, something new that God can talk to you about today. So that's why we're here today, and it's good to see what God is doing. it's good to see that the world is shaping up and starting to line up with the scripture. It's always lined up, but it's lining up really, 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 really tight now. And to see what's going on, people are scared. They're nervous. And Israel's crazy. They're crazy. Now, that people, they should have read the Bible. Had they read the Bible, they'd have known not to mess with Israel, because Israel, they've got God. They know they've got God on their side. They know that God is with them. I don't know if this thing is doing something funny. They know that God is with them, and by God being with them, they're not afraid of anything. And that's the way it is with a Christian. We're crazy. We know we got God on our side. When you know you got God on your side, it doesn't matter what the devil does, doesn't matter what the world does, don't matter what they throw at us. We're crazy. We ain't worried about this world. But the church world don't understand, and I think I said it the other day, I said the church world's got all these signs up and pray for Israel. Pray for Israel. They better stop praying for Israel, because they're going to pray God right out of the Gentile world. And where they think that they're going to be helping Israel, Israel don't need help. There's the church where it's like, pray for Israel, and they're cutting off the limb that they're standing on. Because if God does answer their prayer and it goes back to Israel, they're done for. Their goose is cooked. They are not going anywhere. Because when that happens, we're getting out of here. And it won't matter whether you're young or old. I love the way God covers everything. The young will be caught up to about 18 to 20. The old ones will be caught back to 18 or 20. So nobody's going to be untouched. And even if you're 18, you say, I'm 18. Well, you'll be 18 with a glorified body. So you don't even know how good you'll feel until we get our body. So we're praying, Lord, even so come. You know, that's what Jeremiah talked on Wednesday night. He's talking about the bride. She's made herself ready. We're not down here in darkness and trying to figure this thing out. We know what it is. We know what the answer to it is. And God is dealing with us when he's dealing with no other Gentile group. Amen. He's answering all of our questions, solving all of our problems, answering our prayers, taking away fear, taking away all the things that this world is covered with. We're not sitting here in fear. We're not like they were in Egypt when the darkness came down and it was so dark that they could feel it. That's not us. We're in pure light. Amen. Total light. Have an answer to everything. When have they ever had an answer to everything? We're sitting up here with the answers to all of the questions. That's why we can sit and talk, and it doesn't matter which angle we come from, we got an answer. Doesn't matter what trouble we go through, we got an answer. Doesn't matter whether we live or die, we've got an answer. We're not trying to hold on to this life even. Oh, we'll be down here as long as God wants us here. But as soon as he says, come, you know what? This bride will be the first one in line. We're not hanging on to nothing down here now. We're not hanging on nothing. And I'm not anxious to leave. I mean, if I'm here, if I breathe a day and I have a day to live, I have something to do for God. And I'm not begrudgingly serving God. I'm not begrudgingly saying, oh, Lord, I've got to get out of here. I can't wait to get out of here. I'll get out of here when I get out of here. To live is Christ. To die is gain. So I'll gain when it's time to gain. I ain't trying to get out of here in a hurry. I don't need an express bus. I just need to get out of here. And I am ready to go, and we're ready to go anytime he says go. But we're so in love with him that it's whatever you want, Lord. Amen. If you want me here today, then amen. I'm here. What do you want me to do? If I'm going to be here, Lord, I want to do something. I'm not just sitting down here waiting on the bus. I'll clean up the bus stop. I'll work around and pick up trash, do something. I'm improve wherever I'm at. That's what the bride does. We improve whatever room we go into. My mama used to say, don't go into a room and come out, and you always come out and leave it better than you found it when you went in. That's the way we were raised, because she had 10 kids. She didn't have time to go in behind everybody in every room. So she said, look, when you come out of a room, I don't care if it's the bathroom, you look, the towel's crooked, straighten it. Trash on the floor, pick it up. You use the toothpaste, don't leave it on the seat with the top on this side and the toothpaste over here. I've gone into houses before and the toothpaste is there from when they brush their teeth and the top's over here. The teeth. She's like, put the top on it. Put it away, clean it up. You know, pick up behind yourself. See, there was too many of us for her to go behind them kids. So we had to clean up behind ourselves. Got up in the morning, straighten your bed before you come down for school. Oh, I know I'm meddling, but I'm just telling you how my mama taught us. Because there's a natural type that types of spiritual.
Amen.
Oh, clean your room before you leave the kitchen to go play.
Amen.
After your meal, clean it up. This is what I was taught in the natural. But let me switch that on for you. Because some of y'all ain't getting it. Some of you think I'm just talking about messing with your house and cleaning up and meddling with your own living and your living condition. I ain't even talking about that. I'm saying as we go through life, we should leave it better. Every day you get up, you should leave that day better. Every person you meet, you should leave them better. Every conversation you have, you should make it better. So when you walk out of a room, people aren't mad at you because they're ready to cuss you out, but they're like, why you gotta go? You know, when Jesus came amongst the disciples, they're like, can't you just stay with us a little bit longer? When you get into a room, somebody shouldn't be anxious for you to get out. They should be trying to give you some water, give you something to hold on to you just a little bit longer, to hang on just a little while longer. Make this world a better place because you're here. And if you do that, you don't have to worry about how you're going to leave this place. Because when you walk out of this world, when we walk out of this world, we've left it better than where they're going to have it. This is the best the world's going to be. It's only going downhill from here. When the bride, if you think it's bad now, when you got shooters who go out, a crazy man, if he wanted to kill himself, okay, do it. But why you got to injure 50 and kill 18 on your way out? You didn't leave the world better than you found it. That's the devil. That's the confusion. And you think that's bad. You ain't seen nothing yet. Let us get out of here. When we get out of here, this world, Satan will have access to everything. The laws won't mean nothing. The world condition won't mean anything. He will destroy. The devil's the only one that will just tear his own house down. And that's what he's going to do. But he can't do it until we get out of here. So we're always talking about the rapture. We're always ready to go. Why are you laughing, Jeremiah? I'm getting started. I got scripture I want to read. I do. And this is one we always, I've read it a couple of weeks ago. I thought about that this morning. I think I read this a few weeks ago. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to go back over here again and start here because we all want to get out of here. We all want the rapture to happen. And I'm not dogging you for it. I want it to happen too. It's a real good desire. You should want it. But there's things that has to happen. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting at verse 51, this is going to be my opening scripture reading here. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. When? At the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall be put on incorruption, And this mortal shall have put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. I want to title the message this morning, The Mystery of the Rapture.
Amen.
And I wanted to talk on this because, number one, it's the hour that we're living in. I tell y'all to get everything off your plate. I tell you to don't worry so much about this. Don't worry about that. You make sure that the rapture is on your plate. But the rapture is a mystery. And yet, everybody who believes in the rapture talks about the rapture, but don't have a clue about the rapture. They use the terms. They talk about the words, but they don't have a clue about this mystery. And it is a mystery. Because remember, he's going to come as a thief in the night. People ask, well, when God comes, will the planes crash? Will the cars wreck? Will the graves have dent in them where the dead got out of them? Now that's man for you. That's his carnal understanding of this mystery. And he wants the rapture. He wants God to come. He wants to be a part of it, but he doesn't understand this mystery. And here he said, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. And that right there is a mystery. We're not all going to die. Because see, this sleep is a death. And the reason we use the term sleep is because saints don't die.
Amen.
Lazarus didn't die. When Jesus was called to Lazarus' house, said, oh, Jesus, Lazarus is sick. Well, Jesus said, okay, I'll come see him. Well, he played around. Kicked a few rocks. Walked along the beach. Washed his feet in the ocean, in the water. Took his time. Then, by day number four, he finally made it there. But before he got there, Jesus said, they said, well, Jesus, we got to get going. Lazarus is needing you. And Jesus was like, Lazarus is sleeping. He's doing well. He's doing okay. And they thought, okay, well, let's go fishing. He's doing good. And Jesus, knowing how carnal-minded they was, he's like, look, you slow-to-understand disciples of mine. He had to be playing with them. Lazarus is dead. But see, saints don't die. They go to sleep. Because they're going to come back. They're going to get up. They're going to continue to live. They live though they died. But we all not going to sleep. But we all will be changed. The dead ones are going to be changed. The living ones are going to be changed. Everybody's going to change. But this is going to be a secret event. Everybody's not going to see it. Everybody's not going to be a part of it. Plane, there won't be one plane crash because of the rapture.
Amen.
Won't be one car wreck because of the rapture. There is so few living that's going to be changed that they won't even miss them. That's why it's going to be a secret event. I love the way the Bible runs. The Bible doesn't bump heads at all. He says he's coming as a thief in the night. A thief in the night does not ring your doorbell.
That's right. You are the last one to find out that he was there. When you go to look for that jewelry, 2 days, 3 days later, Melanie go to get her little Julie. And it ain't there. She's not going to say, oh, that thief came last night. No, she wasn't expecting him. He was so quiet and so stealthed that didn't even know he got in the house and got out with your goodies. Jesus is coming and has come like a thief in the night. And there's going to be so few that are alive and remain that when he steals them away, the rest of the world are not even going to know they're gone. It's a good thing it's going to take 30 to 40 days. Because in those 30 to 40 days, God's got time. He's got time to park your car. He's got time to land that airplane. He's got time to get you somewhere where nobody is looking at you. Because, you know, in those old shows, when the rapture happened, all you found was a pile of clothes. God's not even going to leave your clothes in a pile. He's got time for you to take them off, fold them, lay them down if he wants to, or you can change them. Because he's the God of all the elements. They're not going to know you're gone. They don't know how it's going to happen. They don't know when it's going to happen. And they have no clue about what it takes to get in the rapture. No clue. There's going to be so few at the top of this pyramid that be saved that they won't miss us. Brother Brown, I think one time I said 500. They killed more than that in the Palestinians in 10 days. There's going to be so few of us going to rapture. So that's why you better make your calling and election sure. Be sure you're not just sitting around, because you might come to the church. Door closed, locked, lights out. And you're trying to do the same thing you've been doing. That you thought nobody saw you. Going through the motion. Sunday, Wednesday. Sunday, Wednesday. Going through the motion. Never got born again. Never laid down your ideas. Kept your own thinking. And that's really stupid because you know what? You're not fooling God. You're not fooling him. You might even fool me. Doubt it, but you might even fool me. But I'm not the one to change your soul. I'm not the one who has the responsibility to make sure that you're okay. I'm not the one that you got to report to. And so when this secret event happened, if you're left behind, as that movie calls it, if you're left behind, who's going to believe you? Right. If you do see that we're gone, who are you going to tell? They'll have you locked up so fast because they got so many nuts out here in the street already. You'll just be another one. So we're going to be changed.
Amen.
Whether you're the living or the dead.
Amen.
Everybody. And you know what John said in the book of Revelation? He said, when he saw his name, everybody in heaven, on the earth, and beneath the earth, everybody heard him. Do you know they know who we are?
Amen.
Do you know they hear our message? They know we're doing what we're doing. Everybody here, above us, Eminem, the whole body knows. They know that it's time for a change. They know. They already understand the walls of petition have come down. Do you know when the walls of petition came down?
Amen.
When all the body found out who they were. There was no more little sections. No more seven rooms. The walls came down. Really, what happened is the understanding came to the entire body. The wall is understanding. What blocks you from God is your understanding.
Amen.
Is your thinking.
Amen.
And until the seals were opened, nobody, nobody knew the whole story.
Amen.
Nobody in earth, above the earth, or beneath the earth knew the whole story. It was sealed behind those seven seals, and nobody knew what God was doing except Jesus. And when he took the wall of perdition down, he was taking the seals and opening them up. And then he sent the seals down here as W-O-R-D. And we picked up the word, got an understanding of the word, and not only do we know who they are, they know who we are. Right. Remember, the seals were open in heaven before they were brought down here.
That's right.
Amen. They knew it before we knew it. Amen. When the seals were open, they were ripped off in heaven and sent down to the earth. Right. So they know who we are.
Right.
They know who to look for when they come.
Yeah.
We'll all be changed. In a moment. See, people think, because they read that scripture, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Now, that's fast. That's not even a blink. A twinkle of an eye is faster than a blink. And so we hear that, and we read that scripture, and we almost think that it's going to happen like that. That's what it seems like. But it's a mystery. Remember, this is a mystery. So the whole church world is looking for a twinkling of an eye change when what you got to understand is this rapture is a process. It winds up in a twinkle. It winds up in a change like that. You'll move dimensions so quick you won't even have time to even think, I'm changing dimensions. It'll be done before you know it. That's why we look for the Lord every day. Look for the change every day. Because we know it's coming. We just don't know when. We don't know when that last seed is going to finally give in. But you know, the last seed has got to be here. If we're just... See, all the scriptures got to run. If we say we're the bride, and we say we're the ones that are going to get our body changed, then the last seed has got to be here, because I'm talking about 50 years from now. This world can't handle another 50. So it's going to happen very quickly at the end of it. But like I said, this rapture, this mystery of the rapture, it's a mystery because it's a process. It happens quickly, but it doesn't. You say, well, we've been sitting here changing for a long time. He says 60 years. 60 years the wall of petition has been down. 60 years the bride has been on her feet. 60 years he came back with the saints. 60 years they've been walking the earth. 60 years they've been just a little bit higher and a little bit faster than we are. So that the last trump. Brother Isaiah was telling me the other day, they think that's Donald Trump. You know, God doesn't do nothing for nothing. There's something in names. Don't laugh. There's something in names. We've got the last Trump on the scene. We've got little Benjamin on the scene. We've got Joseph on the scene. Y'all don't know president's name was Joseph? He said, oh, you're making a doctrine. No, I'm just saying there's something to names. Don't. When God promised Abraham and Sarah a son, his name was Abram and her name was Sarai. So God's serious about his names.
Amen.
He gave them a promise and changed their name. And their name change was a type of a birth. Their name change was a type of our body change.
That's right.
Because they had a promised son promised to them, and they had old bodies, and they had to... See, that's another mystery the church don't understand. They think, oh, hallelujah, God gave Abraham and Sarah a child. You only know a corner of the story. Do you realize for God to give Abraham and Sarah a child, he didn't just speak it into existence, but he gave Sarah a time of life again.
Yes, Lord.
He gave Abraham active seed.
Yes, sir.
He took a 100-year-old man and made him a young man again. Took a 90-year-old woman, made her a young woman again. So much so, she was so beautiful that the king wanted her. Perverted king when going after a 90-year-old woman. She was young again. Church world don't realize that there is a change coming to the bride before she gets out of here. We will be young again, Jeremiah. It's a mystery. They don't understand it, and it's a mystery. They just think God gave Abraham and Sarah a child. That's the least thing God did for them. It's easy for God to give them a child, but the miracle was that he gave them youth.
Yes.
For the trump shall sound. What trump? Thessalonians 4. The Lord himself, process, shall descend from heaven with a shout and a voice and a trump of God. All these things work together for good. All these scriptures tie. And by chance, they're talking about the last trump. Why is the last trump? Because it's the last message that was sent to the last church to gather together the last people.
Amen.
But after that trumpet sounds, which it has, but there is a process even in the trumpet. Shout, voice, and trumpet. It's all these things are all tied together, and it's coming. And here it's saying at this last trump, we are going to be here, and the dead arise.
Right.
You say, well, I don't see no dead. Gehazi. Lord. You remember Gehazi?
Yeah.
He's standing there with the prophet. Scared out of his boots. Because the soldiers were all around him. And there was no way out. And Gehazi said, we're going to die, we're going to die. The prophet looked at him and said, no, you got to understand something, Gehazi. Says there's more here with us than here with them. And he didn't pray for God to send the angels. He said, God, open his eyes. They're already here.
Amen.
The dead came back in 1963. He said, I'm coming back and my reward is with me. So they come back. They're here. They're just a little bit faster than us. They're just a little bit higher than us. The dead are already here. The thing is, we need our eyes open that we might be able to see them. It's not a coming and a coming and a coming. It's like he's coming and he's got to go, oh, wait a minute, I'm going to go back and get your brothers. No. He came and his reward came with him. And our problem is that we just don't have our eyes anointed to see them. Television is running through this room right now. Right now. Your favorite TV show is playing right now. But you can't pick it up because you don't have the crystal to pick it up with. But if you had something on you, oh, you do. I'm sorry, you do. Every last one, you got it in your pocket. Every last one of us are carrying crystals with us. Television was here when Adam was here. Man don't create. He can't create. He can only take what God's created and make something else out of it. So we're here in these corruptible bodies, trying to do our best, trying to get ready to get out of here, because we're all talking about this mystery, the rapture. We're talking about the rapture. But you cannot go in the rapture in this body. It's corruptible. It's rotten. We spend so much time trying to get this thing right, when it will never be right. You know, I like somebody said the other day, I think I was at a service, church service. I think I was down at Little Bethlehem. I can't remember where I was at, but a preacher was preaching, and they were talking about, you know, we always want to do certain things to prove that we're Christ. But Christ was more than just a do-gooder. His very nature and life had so many characteristics about him that should be in us. Yes. I think I heard this morning, God is love. God is love. It shouldn't be hard for you to love. It should be your very nature to love. Long-suffering. By nature. Meekness. I'm not talking about this store-bought stuff that people, God bless you. Real meekness. Preferring your brother. Preferring your sister. Oh, somebody say, I have a need? Oh, I lay my need down to pick up theirs and help them with theirs. Oh, I got a load I can't hardly handle. I'll put mine down and help them with theirs. That shouldn't be something we have to do. It should be our very nature, because that's the nature of Jesus Christ. Shouldn't be hard to love. You say, I got to stop cussing.
Amen.
Shouldn't be your nature.
Right.
I got to stop this. I got to stop that. No. You get Christ in there, and what's in there is going to come out.
Amen.
Our problem is we don't get Christ in there. We try to produce something that ain't even Christ. And anything you can produce is false. It's the only thing you can do is take something that's already here and try to make something else out of it. But I'm trying to tell you, you need to be born again so that the very nature that's in you is Christ's own life. Man takes what God's created and makes things. God's the only creator. He's the only one that created a new soul.
Amen.
He's the only one that can create a theophany. He's the only one that can create a glorified body.
Right.
Nobody else can do that.
Amen.
So we have all this corruptible stuff that we carry around. And we got to get rid of this. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how nice you are. I don't care how holy you are. You still got to get rid of this corruptible house.
Amen.
That's part of the mystery. Because people are trying to get this house ready to go. People are trying to get themselves, well, we got to clean up our lives. And we got to clean this up. And you can't make yourself clean enough to go.
Right.
Amen.
That's why you must be born again.
That's why God's got to give us an incorruptible body. Because the one you have is rotten. And it's not going. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality. You got to be immortal. You got to be eternal. You got to have a life that doesn't end. Every one of us is sitting in a life that's going to end. One way or the other. You say, well, we're going to be changed, but this life is still going to end. Because the body you're getting is not the body you have. So when this corruptible will have put on incorruption, and the mortal he'll have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying as written, death is swallowed up in victory. Do you realize when we lay this house down, no matter how we lay it down, that death loses you? Because we're not dying, I'm telling you. Amen. We leave this house and move into another. Our death is in victory. And I like the way it's worded here. It says, the sting of death is sin. The only reason that death even stings you is because you lay down a sinner. The wages of sin is death. As a tree falls, so shall it lie. If you die a sinner, you'll resurrect a sinner. If you die a saint, you move into a body. And in an immortal house that's not made by man's hand. It's an incorruptible house, eternal in the heavens. Well, how is it eternal in heaven? It comes from the mind of God. It was a part of God. Always was a part of God. God always planned on you being there. And in his mind, he had a body waiting on you so that when you lay this one down, you have somewhere to go. Ain't nothing worse than getting kicked out of your house and don't have no place to go. The believers have somewhere to go. That's why there's no sting with our deaths. When we have to lay our lives down, we're not, oh God. No, we gladly lay it down. Because Paul said, if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, I got another one. Amen. Oh, don't worry about me. I got a house waiting on me. Death ain't going to sting me.
Right.
That's right. I already got stung by death when I was born again.
Right.
That's the last stinger he had on me. So this house, when I lay this thing down, don't worry about me. Oh, don't worry too much about me, because I got it made.
Amen.
I'll be all right, because you know what? That bee doesn't even have a stinger anymore. Jesus took the stinger out at Calvary. Devil don't have nothing on us. That's why we don't have to sit here and boo-hoo and fear death and fear sickness and fear. Perfect love cast out all fear. We don't lose our loved ones. We place them.
Amen.
We're not sitting here fighting with death. I hope they're going to. No. When I lay them down, I say, you wait right there for me. I'll come and get you in a little bit. That's why we got such a powerful revelation. We don't worry about our loved ones dying. My stepmom passed away last week, but you know what? We placed her. We placed her. We ain't worried about, oh, and see, people got these deathbed religion, and they try to save people on their deathbed, and they try to make sure they get to see them before they, no. I'll see you in the morning. That's what the bride's doing. We're doing just like Jesus did. We're placing people. Tell them who can come and who can't. And the rest of the world, they're still groping in darkness trying to figure out, oh, I don't know. They don't know what to say at a funeral. Oh, they don't know how to put them in. They don't know what to say because they weren't a good person or they had this problem or they had that problem. And they're trying to preach them into heaven. You're not preaching nobody into heaven.
No.
Your life preaches you into heaven.
Amen.
And when you lay this tabernacle down, there is no stinger in there for you because you've already died and Jesus already died and paid the price for you. So now all you can do is walk out of one tabernacle and walk into another.
Amen.
Oh, death, where's your sting? Where are you going to scare me? How are you going to scare me, Dad? I got to, yeah, serve me that 30-day notice. I got a mansion just on the other side of the hill. I got a mansion. You're gonna take my raggedy house from me? When I got a mansion just over the hills? How are you going to be sad about that? That 30-day notice don't even have a stinger on it. You're not even sad about it. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. They put the law on you, and that shows you how bad of a sinner you are. And because you're not born again, that is a stinger that is going to sting you, because if you die and you have not been born again, yeah, you need to worry. That death is going to sting you hard. But not the believers.
Amen.
Not the bride of Jesus Christ. Not us that are alive and remain. We're gonna bypass that stinger of death. We're going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. You say, well, what if you die? I'll still be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. The answer's the same. I just look back and see that body. When Brother Branham looked back on the bed, it didn't hurt for him. Matter of fact, he changed out of that body so quick. He looked back and saw himself laying on a bed like this. And he thought, he looked over here and saw rolling hills. Looked over there and saw him and me just sitting laying there. Looked there, looked there. Which way did he go? He didn't worry about his body. He wasn't worried about this world. When you lay this down, that's what Brother Childers told Sandy. He said, when I get over there, Brother Childers, when I find out these things, I'm going to come back and tell you. He said, oh, Sandy, you'll never do it. And she never did. Because when you go over there, you wouldn't want it. Why come back? You wouldn't come back here. I wouldn't want my family to come back here. Oh, Lord. When you get over there, only reason Brother Brown was ready to stay. You know that, don't you? Do you realize that he did not come back here because he wanted to? He was settled. And they're like, you better get on back down there. You got work to do. So when we lay this tabernacle down, we got another one. We ain't coming back here. We're not afraid of death. We're not even going to be stung by death. He said, well, you're going to get sick. I might get sick. You're going to suffer. I may suffer. But you know what? I still have the last word on it. Because when I'm finished, the suffering of this presence, I love the word of God. I love the word of God because it has an answer for everything. The suffering of this present time, it's not even worthy to be compared to the glory. It should be revealed in us. What in you is coming out. It's like a caterpillar and a butterfly. You get over there, you're going to be a butterfly. You're going to just blow. It's now you can't even compare over here the glory that's coming out of you. I'm just going to jump on down here. Romans chapter 8. I love that chapter. Not going to read it all. Just jumping down in chapter 8 to verse 38. For I am persuaded. I'm convinced that neither death nor life. Now listen to the believer. Nor angels. Nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We need to stand unmovable. That's who we are. That's why when people say, you still going to church in Fairborn? You should look at them and say, are you still breathing? Yes, I'm going to church in Fairborn. I'm unmovable.
always abounding in the word of the work of the Lord. I'm always in. I'm right in the middle of what God's doing. If you want to know what God's doing, find out what the bride's doing. She's unmovable. She's not back and forth. She's not in and out. She's not up and down. When I see somebody like this, Bible tells me a double-minded man is unstable in some of his ways, all of his ways. He ain't got nothing right. When he's got something right, it's wrong. We should be unmovable. We should be solid. And this is part of the, it's all part of the rapture, I'm telling you. It's all part of the rapture. I know. One day in the rapture, next day I'm not. Monday I might make it, next day I'm not. That happened down through the ages. Not now. You shouldn't be tossed about with every wind and doctrine now. You should know who you are now. Are you going to be in a rapture? Yes. You going to get a body change? Yes. You taking your loved ones? Yes. Are you the final voice to the final age? Yes. These are easy questions. It should be. You shouldn't have to think about those answers. Are you going? Yes, I'm going. Yes. Are you a part of this? Yes, I'm a part of this. Yes, I ain't taking no back seat. Come to church and let you do it all. Whack. You didn't see that one coming. Yeah. It's a body ministry. We all got something to do. You got to, if you're a part of the body, when my body moves, my entire body moves. I don't have my arms. Wait a minute. I ain't going. No. The whole body moves together. Now, this rapture, this mystery of the rapture, it's a process, and this process started all the way back there when Jesus was here. The first step for the body change was the price that had to be paid. I mean, because without the price being paid, ain't none of us going. Ain't going nowhere. So, if you're talking about a body change now, this conversation started 2,000 years ago. Because in order for you to go, somebody had to pay the price. First Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. What? Know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. It all belongs to God. People think, well, it doesn't matter. It does matter. He wants to manifest himself through the body that he owns. He's got a right because he paid the price. He was the only one who could pay that price. And outside of Jesus Christ, you're not going. Amen. I don't care how nice you are. I don't care how much you go to church. I don't care how good you sing. I don't care how much you testify. If you don't have Jesus Christ's blood covering you, you're not going. Amen. He paid the price. You belong to him. And he wants you. He wants to use you. He don't want some old religious thing because there's all kind of religious demons out there. He's not looking for some religious person. He wants somebody that'll give them their life. Amen. And say, Lord, you do with it whatever you want. If you want me to do this, I'll do that. If you want me to live here, I'll live there. If you want me to buy this, I'll buy that. If you want me to sell this, I'll sell it. If you want me to buy it, then give it away, I'll do that. Amen. You're bought with a price. You belong to him. I'm talking about what it takes to be in the rapture, because we all want to be in the rapture. But first of all, the price had to be paid. And the price was paid by Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. No one else could do what he did. Brother Brandon said, but you're not your own. You're bought with a price. You're commissioned to do a job. Whoa. We don't want to do nothing. We just want to sit and wait on the bus. Rapture's coming. If I'm going to be there, if I'm predestinated, I'll be there. If I'm not, I won't. You know what? I ain't got time for that. No, sir. I am going to be there. There's no question in my mind. I've got the token. When I got the token, that means there's a seat with my name on it. You don't just get on a plane to sit anywhere you want unless you're doing one of those flights, Frontier or something. Southwest, just go in and grab a seat. This ain't Southwest. You got an assigned seat. You got a token in your hand. That means Jesus Christ has paid the price. And you belong to him. Nobody else can. Matter of fact, if you try to sit in my seat, I call the authorities. Haul you off. Throw you out there where there's gnashing of teeth. You got in the wrong way. You came in the door back there where they load the food. You got to have a seat. Got to have a token. Got to have the blood of Jesus Christ covering you. That's where it starts. And when that blood covers you, it straightens your mind out. It straightens your flesh out. It straightens your soul out. It straightens everything out. Then you start living for him. Because he becomes your employer. He's your boss. He tells you what to do. Tells you where to go. I get tickled at people who think they got their own life. Especially young people, because they get 16, 17, 18. They're like, they always tell me, well, here's what I'm doing. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And I'm blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, okay. All right. Then I go back in the corner, sit down, just watch. And God starts moving in their life. And starts guiding us there. Yeah, what happened to that? You didn't go that way. Wait. God takes your life over. It's not yours anymore. Paul says, no longer I. But it's Christ that liveth in me. Amen. If God wants you to go to a certain place to live, God will get you there. God wants you to go to a certain school, because we all have ideas of school. Jeremiah cracks me up, because he told me what he was going to do. He was going down to the certain school, and he was going to have an apartment with a certain person. And I'm like, Oh, that's a good plan. But then God got in the mix. And then look at him now. He didn't do any of those things. But that shows you the difference between man and God. Because see, when you're bought with a price, the blood is covering you, and the life of Christ is living in you, and your life becomes his, and you will do exactly what he wants you to do. You might kick and scratch and tell me how much you want to do, and I'm like, okay, nice. It sounds good. I didn't get to do what I wanted to. I'd have been a retired general by now. Maybe. If I lived. But God has his plan. And the first part of being in the rapture is you must be born again. Everybody that's going to be in a rapture is born again. Caiaphas said it's important that one man should die for it whole. He was a high priest, and he was prophesying. He wasn't even a believer of Jesus, but he had a gift, and he prophesied. He said, Brother Branham said that the Jews for thousands of years looked for the coming one, where God himself would be made a human in the form of his son, in order to bleed and die, for there is no man could die for another. Because we were all guilty together. One man could not save the other. And there had to be a man who was worthy. In the old laws, the ministers knew as a kinsman redeemer. They knew him as a kinsman. They had to be a kinsman to you to pay that price. That's how they did back in the old time with Ruth and Boaz and Remember that story? Sometime we might go over just so you could look at it. Ruth and Boaz, and and Naomi and the kinsman redeemer that took a near kinsman. The closest one to him was obligated to pay the price. And Naomi's closest relative didn't want it. It's going to cost too much. Dragging that old Ruth with her. He had two mouths to feed. And he's just like, I can't do this. But here comes Boaz. He was a near kinsman. And he paid the price. And not only did he pay the price for Naomi, but he also picked up Ruth. And he really didn't want Naomi. He wanted Ruth. Jesus paid the price. And it seemed like he paid it for Israel. But he didn't really pay it for Israel. He paid it and it covered Israel. But he was after a bride. A Gentile bride. Ruth was a Gentile. Jesus wanted a Gentile bride. And so he did everything he did so that he could get us. Had to be a kinsman. The old ministers knew that in the Old Testament. God had to become a kinsfolk to us. Amen. And he crossed his tent. He came down and he came down from being God, great Jehovah, and was made flesh in the form of his son that God might be manifested. And being worthy, a kinsfolk to us, he might die to take away our sins to save his own creation. God became man. That man could become God. He became our kinsman. He took on the form. He didn't have to die. He willingly died. He willingly paid the price for us. That's the first part of the rapture. If you don't recognize that Jesus died for your sins, then you can't be in the rapture. It's only for those that are redeemed. It's only for the kinsman. It's only for his wife. Amen. So this mystery that we're talking about, a mystery of the rapture, where it has to go back to Calvary, because without Calvary, there is no rapture.
Amen.
Without Calvary, there's no remission of sin. Without Calvary, there is no kinsman redeemer. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9. Having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time. What is that? When time's up. When everything's done. When the wall of perdition is down. When all the kinsmen are together. When everything is paid for and covered for. When it's all done. When time is no more, at the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one. All things in Christ. What are in Christ? His people. Both which are in heaven and in earth. It takes everything in heaven and earth to make one in Christ. All of us together. See, The bride is not them over there, and the bride is not just us over here. It's us and them together making one. They without us cannot be made perfect. But don't get the big head, because us without them cannot be made perfect. That's why you can't throw Luther out. That's why you can't throw Wesley out. That's why you can't throw Pentecostal out. They're just as much a part of the body as you are. There's only one body. And it takes all that's in heaven and all that's in earth. That's why John said they all hurt him. The whole body hurt him. The whole body hurt him. And the whole body hears us. Oh, they know what we're preaching on. They know what we're looking for. They know what we're talking about. You say, they're listening? They don't have to listen in. They're here. Now in Ephesians 1 and 10 is called, now if you're putting it down, Ephesians 1 and 10 is called not a dispensation, right. Not the seventh day. Right. It's called the fullness of time. And when the fullness of time has come, that's when time has been fulfilled. That's at the end of it all. Right. That's when time has been fulfilled. When there is no more time, right. Then you go into eternity. after the serve, after the seventh church age is over, and it is. Luther's age is over. Methodist age is over. Pentecost age is over. And now you go into what? Eternity. No more sevens. No more threes. No more other. They're in eternity where there is no such time and numbers and times and things. You move into eternity. This is where the body is going. The entire body. This was, I'm telling you, the rapture was a, it was happening ever since the price was paid. It already started.
That's right. That's right.
Wow.
Right.
You said, but I thought the, wait a minute. They were building a whole body, and every part of the body was part of the rapture.
Right.
Just because you don't see the rapture now don't mean you aren't in it.
Right.
You're sitting here today talking about, oh, I'm in the rapture. You're just as much in the rapture as Paul was. But they had to wait because God was going to deal with the entire bride body. He didn't want a partial body. He didn't want just Paul's day. If Paul's day would have been enough, then they would have raptured then. But it wasn't enough. God had to take the seed, bride seed. I like to call it the bride seed. God had to take the bride seed in, just like he did the groom. Except the corn of wheat goes into the ground, it abides alone. Except the bride seed goes in the ground, it abides alone. It took the bride going in and coming out to complete the entire body. And you being the top, the capstone, the headstone, the mind, the last part that's not even moving, but the intelligence, the very life is then now in the body. That's who we are. You can't even get out of the bed until you wake up. Though your entire body's there. You're laying there all night long. But what's the first thing that wakes up? It's the mind. What's the first thing that recognizes who they are? It's the mind. Where you're at. What you're up to. It's the mind. Before you move a muscle, your mind wakes up. They say you dream just before you wake up. People think they dream all night. You don't dream all night. You're just laying there. But just before you wake up, when your mind is starting to wake up, because that's where your dream's coming from. It ain't a movie. There's not a movie screen going on in there. It's your mind starting to wake up. And your mind is starting to get alert. And as it's getting itself together, you break into dreams. And it may be the dog barking next door that gets pulled in your dream. Because your mind is active, and that's got your ears active, and it's saying as a dog, and it gets worked into your dream. It might be the telephone ring, might be anything. But don't be fooled because your body's not moving. Don't think it's not your mind moving. Your mind is the first thing that wakes up. And here we sit, knowing who we are.
Amen.
We're not in twilight anymore.
No, sir.
Oh, when we first come into this message in 1963, the bride was in twilight. She was waking up, but she was still twilighting. She was still trying to figure out what it is. Brother Brennan said, oh, Billy Paul, I just preached a message. How many of you do you think really believe what I preached? Oh, Billy Paul was trying to get me called. Oh, Daddy, they all believed it. No, Billy Paul. I can count them on one hand. And in a building probably having thousands of people, I can count them on one hand. Why? We hadn't woke up yet. We're still dreaming. Oh, we're still trying to figure out our head from our tail, trying to figure out that a God, what a prophet can do, what a prophet is, what a message is. We were still trying to find out. We didn't know who he was, let alone know who we are. We were stuck in twilight for years, trying to wake up. You couldn't bring about a rapture until you wake up. This bride was not ready for a rapture. She wasn't ready to get up. She wasn't ready to recognize. She didn't even know who she was. It was a process.
Amen.
It's a process in getting out of bed. It's a process of waking up. It's a process of finding out who you are. We come to this message, we didn't know who we were. You didn't know who you were. Didn't know who Brother Branham was. I didn't know who Brother Branham was. I didn't know there was supposed to be a message. I was asleep. Waked out of sleepeth and arise from amongst the dead. Yeah. You're not dead. You're just right. You're just laying there with them. You're sleeping with the dead.
Amen.
That's what I was doing when I was an apostolic. Amen. I was sleeping with the dead. That's what you did in the Baptist, the Methodist, the Pentecost, the Catholics, the Methodist churches. We were dead while we lived. Just sleeping amongst the dead. And then we needed God to put some smelling sauce under our noses so that we can hear a message that will shake us and wake us and get us to where we know who we are.
Amen.
All you want to get the rapture on, first you got to wake up.
Amen.
Romans chapter 11, verse 25 says, For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until when the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, till the bride wakes up. We didn't even know what our body parts were. We were laying there throwing Luther out. He's a drinking, smoking, cussing Catholic, ex-Catholic priest. He can't be a part of this. We were still in a daze. But you know what? I'm just going to say I did this. I know y'all don't do this. One night I rolled over, and I must have been laying on my arm. I rolled over. And my arm went up like this, and it came down and said, SPAT! Woke me out of a dead sleep. And I was mad, but I couldn't, I didn't know because my arm was asleep. I didn't know it was my arm because it was numb. And I must have come from just way up there. I got long arms. And it come down and smacked me so hard. I wasn't to be mad about it. But kind of find out it was part of me. But I didn't know that until it woke me up.
Right.
We wanted to throw Luther out. We wanted to throw Wesley out. We wanted to throw We wanted to throw message churches out. And many of us did. I know I did. You don't believe like I believe, you don't even have the Holy Ghost. You don't believe like I believe, you don't have the message. You don't believe like I believe, you're not going in a rapture. You don't believe like I... Who are you? You can only believe what God's revealed to you. Don't be so high and mighty thinking you got something. Whatever you got is by the grace of God. Brother Brandon made the evidence of the Holy Ghost real easy for us in this hour. Recognizing your day in this message. That's so simple because that's the evidence of the Holy Ghost in every age. But we put all kind of other stipulations on it. And we've locked people out. We've locked them out of heaven. We've locked them into hell. We said they couldn't go. We threatened them, send them to the great white throne judgment. You're brothers. But we didn't know because we were in a daze. Though we were awakened in 1963, it's taken us 60 years to wake up. You can't get on your feet till you wake up. You try to get out of bed without waking up. You end up on the floor. Now that I think there is something else you ought to know. The seven church ages, which are addressed by John in Asia Minor, and are all Gentile churches. He did not speak to the church in Jerusalem, which was mostly Jewish, with perhaps a few Gentiles in it. The reason is that God had turned from the Jews to the Gentiles. Thus, the whole of the church ages is God dealing with the Gentiles. and calling out the Gentile bride to himself to make the church ages and the fullness of the that makes the church ages and the fullness of the Gentiles one and the same thing. Israel's blindness was only going to be in part until the fullness of the Gentiles. Brother Branham said that seven church ages and the fullness of the Gentiles is one and the same. You ought to understand, we are so close to getting out of here that this whole rapture process is just about over with.
Amen.
We've already reached the fullness of the Gentiles. We already know what it is. The bride is awake. She's on her feet. She knows what to do with the word. We know how to bind. We know how to loose. Yes. We know we've got our loved ones. We take our loved ones, and we're not even shy about it.
No.
We're not shy about who we are. No. We're not shy about what we are. We know what we're doing now.
Right.
Oh, Brother Branham said that the dad won't give the keys to the factory to the son until he knows we got the keys now.
Right.
We're running this business.
Amen.
When I walk in a building, I take it over.
Right. Amen.
You say, who are you? You'll find out who I am. You better hope you find out who I am.
Yes,
because I'm the only God you're going to see. Do you realize the only God this world is going to see is the bride of Jesus Christ right now?
Amen.
The Son of Man, the Word of God made flesh is right here, right now, right going all over the place. Just in what, look at where the Son of Man is going. Just in this area. God walking in skin. God binding and loosing. He's doing it in our kids. Going to school, taking their kids with them,
right.
Taking their teachers with them. And I acted like, well, I don't know if I can do that. No, you're going with me.
Amen.
You're going with me.
Right.
This bride is now awake.
Right.
This is the biggest part that needed to happen for the body change. Because you have to know who you are. You have to know. Now, I'm not playing. I'm not talking about just playing. I'm saying you got to know. Somebody come in here with a gun and say, okay, if you don't get out of this message, I'm going to kill you all. Anybody who wants to leave can walk out those doors right now. But what about your message? Oh, I wasn't showing it for me. This thing has got to be that real to you.
Amen.
That you deny everything. Your father, your mother, even your own self.
Right.
That's how real this has got to be. The rapture is going to only involve real believers.
Yeah.
People who have gone all the way.
Amen.
Not part of the way.
Amen.
And after you find all that out, this process that we're going through, it takes you to a point where there's a uniting.
Yeah, right.
See, that you just don't, you say, well, I'm just going in rapture. You can't go by yourself. You gotta unite somewhere. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, but I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning this with them which are asleep, that they sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, there you go, that's where that all started. Even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them or hinder them which are asleep. For the Lord himself, here's that process. This is the end of the process. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. That's a message. With the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. In this process, the shout, the voice, and the trumpet comes. And before you get your change, the dead's got to get up first. They get up before you get your change. And remember, he did all this in his coming. And he brought them with him when he came. He's not going back again to get them, say, okay, we're ready. No. He brought everything he needed to get this rapture done with him. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. This should be our hope. This should be what we talk about. This should be how we help each other. Oh, I'm going through a trouble. I'm having problems with my home. Oh, but don't worry about it. The body change ain't that far away. Oh, I can't stand that woman. I got to divorce her. Oh, just hang in a little bit longer. You'll both get your body changed. You'll be fine. Oh, that man, I'm going to dump him. Oh, don't worry about it. Those problems will go away soon enough. We're so short in time now. Brother Brown told us when he preached marriage and divorce. He said, we don't have time to try to get these things together. We don't have time to try to straighten these homes out. We have less time now to straighten our homes out than he did then.
Amen.
These three things happen. A shout, a voice, and a trumpet. Has to happen before Jesus appears. Now, the shout, Jesus does all three when he's descending. When he's descending on his way back. They say, Jesus is coming again. He's coming. In that corporal body, he's coming. But while he's descending, the shout, the voice, and the trump has to happen. We've already had to shout. That was the message. That's the prophet. We've already got that. The voice is in the bride. You're hearing it this morning. And the last thing is the trump. At that last trump, that trumpet is sounding to get the living and the dead united together. That's may not be as far away as you think. Because, you know, we're already together with the dead, all but in our houses. That's it. The body's united. So that trumpet that I keep thinking will come might not be so far off as you think. Because I'm united with Paul, Luther, Wesley, Pentecost, Irenaeus, Martin, I'm already united. That gathering of the living and the dead, that wall of partition is gone.
Right. No more sevens.
There's no more sevens, no more threes, no more nothings.
Right.
It's one body.
Amen.
One body. We just happen to be the mind part of that living body.
Right.
And she is on her feet now.
Amen.
The body is on her feet.
Right.
So I'm going to have to rethink my thinking.
Come on.
My thinking says, well, the trumpet's coming. But I start thinking, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I'm already united with the dead.
Yeah. Right.
That's what the trump does. That's what the trump does. It unites the living and the dead. I thought, wait a minute. That's already done. Nate, step it up. Take another step. Take another step.
Okay.
So, whoa, wait a minute. If you do the trumpet, there's nothing left. Just... Lord, open our eyes that we can see that they that are with us are much more, much more than they that are in the world. If we just count along this wall, we are surrounded. We could come and count. Our cloud of witnesses surrounded us. It's, God doesn't do nothing for nothing.
Amen.
Why are we surrounded by our church? This thing could be closer than we think. The mystery of the rapture is not a mystery to us. It's our thinking.
Right.
It's our thinking. It's our thinking that's got us behind the times.
Right.
It's our thinking that keeps us laying in the bed saying, wait a minute. When really, everything's right in our hands. Spirit and bride say, come. Brother Brown says she's on her feet now. The bride, not the mind. The entire bride body.
Yes, sir.
is on her feet. We are moved into the eighth day. We moved into the same day they're in. They don't need to change anymore. Not that way. We need to change. We need to change our thinking. We need to change our mindset. We need to realize the hour that we're living in. And you'll forget about all this world. Brother Brown says the things of this world will grow strangely dim. They'll fade out.
Amen.
When the seals open up, all this stuff in the world will fade away. And you don't worry about it. If I get that job or not. If I get that wife or not. If I get that husband or not. If I get kids or not. If I get grandkids or not. It doesn't even matter. It's not even that important. When I get over there, it ain't going to make no difference anyway. But the hour that we're living in, we're moving into a new phase, church, that the body and the mind has to tell the body to move.
Amen.
That's the mystery of the rapture. That's where we're at, church. That's where the bride is at around the world. We've been 60 years coming to this.
Yes.
Wow. Revelations chapter 2 says, he that has an ear, let him hear, verse 7, what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcome will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. We have been eating off this tree for 60 years. We have an ear to hear. We can hear what's going on. We can see what God's doing. We understand clearly the rapture. We understand. We know who's getting up. We know who's getting up first.
Yes. Right.
The ones along this wall are getting up first. The last shall be first. And the first shall be last. You say, well, I recognize Paul. You will. But you'll recognize Sister Alice before you'll recognize Paul. By the time you get to Paul, you'll know all things. You may not know all things when Alice walks in, but as soon as you see her, you will. You say, well, they're that close. Are we that close? Yes. You say, well, what if you die tomorrow and you have to go? Then you'll recognize me when I come and get you. Put me on the wall. So that death, where's your sting? We don't care. We know that we're at the time where the bride is uniting. Right now, the mystery of the rapture is no longer a mystery to us. It's only a mystery. And Paul said, I want to show you a mystery. Well, I'm telling you, it's no longer a mystery. When you show it, it's not a mystery. When you see it for yourself, it's no longer a mystery. I'm looking at today saying, whoa!
Right.
Amen.
It's only a mystery until it's revealed.
Amen.
Now it's being revealed to the bride. It's no longer a mystery. We know what it is.
Amen.
Scripture says over there in Matthew 24, we're not going to read it, said but he shall endure unto the end. You know, he says this will have to be preached, and the gospel has to be preached, and kingdoms preached in all the world for witness, and then the end shall come. Well, it's been preached. It's done. It's been around the world. The world's not flat. You don't have a bottom side that nobody can get to. We have been around the globe. Isn't it funny? I've gone as far east as I can go, and I've gone as far west as I can go. This gospel has been preached. This message has been done. The church is built. The church is blind. The church world is blind. They're rich and increase with good and have need of nothing. But you know what? We have an ear to hear in the midst of all of that. And I'm just going on down through because it's after 12. I need to wrap it up. But there's a couple of quotes I want to read here now. Close. Brother Branham said, and this one we know, we've read this one a lot. He said, the time is at hand. The time was not at hand previously. Amen. In the wisdom of God's economy, in the wisdom and economy of God, this mighty revelation, though fully known of God, could not come forth hitherto. Thus we immediately learn a principle. A revelation of God for each age can come in that age only, and at a specific time. Look at the history of Israel. The revelation of God to Moses came only at a specific time in history. And even more specifically, it came as people cried unto God. Jesus himself came in the fullness of time, he being the complete revelation of the Godhead. And in this age, Laodicea, the revelation of God will come in due time. It will not falter, neither will it be premature. Think on this and heed it well, for we are in the end time today. That's where we're at. Listen to what he said. Now, he's talking about revelation. You only get revelation when it's time to get it. That's why you can't knock somebody. I can't knock you if you don't understand. You can't get a revelation until God gives it to you. And if God lays a revelation out, you know, it's, when God lays a revelation out, all you got to do is pick it up. I mean, that's how easy it is. God reveals his word personally to you by you hearing the word preached and agreeing with it. That's all. That's it. Everybody's trying to pick, people trying to figure it out. I got to learn this. You don't have to learn it. The revelation is preached. And when it's preached, all you do is receive it and agree with it. That's how easy that is. We make it so hard. We got to study. We got to learn. We got, oh, I got to know as much as you, and I got to know as much as that, and I got to pick this up. No, when the word is preached, it's preached by revelation. And when the revelation is preached, you just receiving it and agreeing with it. That's all you got to do. He said, well, I can't explain it. He didn't ask you to explain it. You say, I don't know how to, I can't get up and preach like you do. You're not supposed to. Right. You just receive what's being preached. Yeah. I'm preaching by revelation. Right. You receive by revelation. Yeah. And it's all done in God's time. Amen. Go after God. Yeah. Don't educate yourself, because you can't educate. This will not be taught by the wisdom of men. You can't get smart enough to understand this. It's got to be by God's revelation given to you by God. Amen. Everything that God ever given in his Bible was done by revelation. That's right. Moses led the children of Israel by revelation. Yeah. Noah built the ark by revelation. Yeah. The disciples walked by revelation. Right. Paul preached by revelation. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The church was built by revelation. Amen. The bride is on her feet by revelation.
That's right.
And listen to what Brother Branham says here. He said, I'm going to go back up here. Do you know the Protestant and Catholic Church is predicted in the last days to be blinded? The same thing that the scripture with Christ on the outside, trying to get in. Because thou sayest, I'm rich, and I have need of nothing. Knowest thou not that thou art miserable, poor, wretched, naked, and blind, and don't know it? That's Revelation 3. There you are, back in the blindness again, trampling over the things of God as if they don't mean nothing to them, and scoffing and making fun of it. That's what the Bible said. Now, here's what I want to get to. But to the church, the bride, the rapture is a revelation to her. Oh, my. Just like any other revelation. The rapture is a revelation to her. It's revealed to her. That's the revelation. The true bride of Christ will be waiting for that revelation of the rapture.
Amen.
We're here waiting on that. All God's done, a revelation is just God's word manifesting. That's all it is. It's not some big hocus pocus. It's God's word revealed and living out through you. The rapture will be living out through you just like every other scripture. It's the quickened word. Now, it is a revelation, for the revelation is faith. You cannot have a revelation without it being faith. Faith is a revelation because it's something that's revealed to you. Faith is a revelation. Faith is something that's been revealed to you, like it was to Abraham, that could call anything contrary to what's been revealed to him as though it wasn't so. Now, faith, that's what faith is. It's a revelation of God. The church is built upon the revelation, the whole entire body. See, we're looking for something to come when it's already here. But you access it by faith. Just like anything else you do. You walk by faith. You believe God's living inside of you. So you live by faith. You move by faith. The rapture is just another revelation, and we'll walk into it by faith. But somebody's got to preach it. Somebody's got to take the mystery out of it. Somebody's got to make it so simple that a child can there, that everybody can by faith reveal to them, recognize that they're part of the rapture. There's a quote I didn't read, but I'm not going to, just to let you know, Brother Branham said, the rapture's at hand. He said, Luther was a part. Wesley was a part. See, it's not just you. This rapture's been working its way to a point where it's going to bring into manifestation. But they're all part of the rapture. They're all part of it. They're all getting up. Ever since the price was paid, everybody that was in that ages, they were all part of the rapture. Because the rapture is not just us, it's the entire church body. Amen. And we're all part of that thing. He said, one more quote and I'll close. He said, one day there will come a blast from heaven, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Them Old Testament saints back yonder who are waiting will blast forth and come out of there first and go into the resurrection. We'll drop right in line. See this process? Going into the sky. These old mortal bodies changed and made like unto his own glorious body. What a parade that will be when it starts heavenward. Some of these days, in that rapturing time that lies ahead, oh, proudly displaying the blood of Jesus Christ upon their chest, the message of God in the hour that they lived in. That's the hour that we're looking forward to, brother. That's what Brother Branham said. We're looking forward. But now we're not looking forward to that. We're looking here back at it and saying, we're right in the middle of this thing. Amen. The rapture has a process to it. And the mystery of the rapture is no longer a mystery. It was a mystery when Paul wrote it, but it's not a mystery anymore. The opening of the seven seals brought on the mystery of the rapture. It revealed the entire plan of God to us, which includes the rapture. And we're all a part of that. Thank God for an understanding. Amen. Thank God that we know what it is. You say, well, I can't explain it. Don't you worry about explaining it. Just believe it. Faith is a revelation. And if you believe it, then it becomes part of you. If you believe the rapture is at hand, then it becomes part of you. You say, well, what if it doesn't happen for 10 more years? Doesn't matter. I'm still part of it. What if it doesn't happen? What if you get old and die before it happens? It doesn't matter. I'm part of the rapture. Rapture and faith. Brother Branham said rapture and faith didn't even come on the scene until the evening time. It's on the scene now. It's here.
Amen.
Now it has already been spoken. So now let it manifest.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. So thankful for the rapture. So thankful to be a part of it. And Lord, we're not trying to figure this thing out. We know what it is. It's no longer a mystery to us. But it's a clear understanding of the hour that we're living in. And it's even closer than when we first begun. And Father, the clearness of it is so stood out to me today that, Father, I don't want to look down the road for anything. I'm looking for it right now, right here.
Yes.
This is what the bride body is built for in this hour. We're awake now. Our mind is focused on the things, the tasks that you have at hand. And Lord, you're going to bring about a body change just like you promised you were going to do. Just like you brought forth everything else, you will bring that forth as well. Thank you for an understanding. Thank you for taking the mysterious part of it out and letting us see with a clear understanding the hour that we're living in. That we can defeat Satan in every turn because he doesn't have any control over us now. He's lost us because now we know what it is. We know what to do with the word. And Lord, this bride is on her feet and she's standing here ready, knowing that any day now, you're going to bring us back to the remainder of the body and that you'll open our eyes that, Lord, we'll be able to see the rest of our body as we move up into heaven in that great, great reunion ahead. Thank you, Father, for this word. Thank you for this congregation. Help us to love you and press over top of everything. Put you first and put everything else aside, knowing the lateness of the hour. We can see it, Lord. We can see the signs in the skies. We can see the signs on the earth, and we can see what you're doing with Israel. We can see what you're doing with the bride. And Lord, we can see that the time is at hand. Thank you, Father, for bringing us to this point and lead us safely on. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you. There is coming a day. What a day. What a glorious day that will be. Amen. God bless you. Don't forget to come back tonight. And we have services starting at 7.
Hey, Pastor Moore.
And once we get through the service tonight, then if the Lord don't come, we'll have service on Wednesday. Amen. David.
I just give my time and give God the praise.
Amen.
He's worth it all. Amen. You know, thank God for his revelation. And it's real, you know, because I've been to that little room. Like, I can't explain it, but, you know, it's real.
And amen.
I just thank God for that. And, you know, I'm going to let you guys know that I'll be starting a new job next month.
Amen. Good deal.
It's all because of him.
Amen.
But thank you. I love y'all.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Hey, I just, you know, I wanted to get up earlier and I didn't get a chance, but that was such a good message. And I'm just so thankful for this word and having a revelation, because I can remember a time where, you know, the idea of the rapture scared me. You know, I didn't understand it. And, you know, I'm just so thankful for the word and being able to have that clear understanding that I'm not worried anymore.
Amen.
You know, like Pastor said, if it comes today, hooray. If, you know, we're here until Wednesday, it's his will, and I just want to be that vessel and do whatever he wants me to do.
That's right.
And I want to be a voice, and I want to get up, and I want to testify, and I want to stake my, you know, put my stake in the ground, and I'm just so thankful for this word, and I never, ever say what I want to say, but I just love this word, and I love you guys all, and Christy, I'll be there. Henry and I will help.
So. Amen.
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 Amen. God bless you. There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, and no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. Oh, what a day, what a glorious day that will be. Face, he's the one who saved me by his grace, and he takes